Radio. Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 7:05 on March 1st. We've just gone through February like a bunny out of the hole being chased by a bunch of beagles.
Third month.
The third month. Here we are.
Get ready for your checks with the three there.
With the three. The three.
The big three.
The big three. Hey, our phone lines here are 530-605-4567. And you can tune us in on KCNR1460.com on your computer, your iPad, your iPhone, and listen to us. And you can chat with us right there, too, and join our regular chat room with the many, many, many intelligent but wild and crazy people that are on that. And speaking of wild and crazy, here he is, Bad Bob.
In like a lion.
In like a lion. It's going to be a rainy day. We're going to be talking about that. But speaking of like being in like a lion, here she is. Linda Bob.
I never know what he's going to do with his little segue intro. By the way, I always want to tell you about the weather. Today, 30% chance of rain with a high of 59. And 100% chance of rain tonight. So get ready. It's going to rain, and that's all right. We'll take it on. Lows tonight of 43. Of course, tomorrow we'll have showers again, and Wednesday will be raining. And so we'll take it all that we can. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway. By the way, folks, it's always a day of celebration, but it's also a day of remembering. I wanted to share with you, one of the late greats has passed on, Jane Russell. Of course, fans everywhere are mourning the loss of Jane, who's passed away today at the age of 89. She is famous for her roles in the 1940s and 50s in classics such as The Outlaw.
Now, that was a classic. It was banned from the screen
for
2 years.
And
it wasn't for content. It was because... I'm sorry.
Well, I was ready to tell you that Howard Hughes, of course, The Outlaw, took years to achieve its wide release. It was filmed in 1941. Think about that, just a few years after Gone with the Wind.
Uh-huh.
1941. And took ages to get past the censors, due mostly to the manner in which Jane Russell was filmed.
So, you mean that nun's habit she was wearing?
With Film Chat in 2009, when she was asked about how this affected her as a young girl, a new actress, and a devout Christian, Ms. Russell said that it was such a big fuss. But all was about some cleavage. Today they're doing cleavage in the back. She also said that their early controversy got her accustomed to being assertive with the press. Russell had a great film career that spanned decades and included parts portraying famous cowgirls, Calamity Jane, Montana Belle, and playing opposite such greats as Bob Hope, Marilyn Monroe, and Roy Rogers. While her career died out a bit in the 60s, it was revitalized in the 70s when she became a spokesperson for Playtex.
Bras.
I remember wearing them over a black sweater. Remember that?
You wore them over a black sweater?
No.
In the TV commercial.
Oh, okay, I got it.
She wore it over a black sweater because the censors would not allow it
otherwise. Absolutely.
Now it's like the Victoria's Secret thing going, oh, no.
And in 1985, she did an autobiography that was called My Paths, My Detours. So Jane Russell, Jane. She was the brunette bombshell.
Well, you know, also, you know, we're talking about people that have passed away, too. And on Sunday, we lost our last World War One veteran, a gent by the name of Frank Buckles, 110 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
When he died. And he enlisted when he was 16 years old, and he got turned down by various recruiting agencies because he couldn't convince them that he was 18, and finally he got into the Army. Actually went over to France and was the last doughboy. And he would have said that, you're the last one. And he said, well, it had to be somebody. It might as well be me to be the oldest. And there's two more, but they were in training. They never made it over to France and England. So also, a salute goes out to him, too. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We've got a pretty good show here today. We've got Turtle Bay. We've got performers. We've got just about a little bit of everything going on. We're going to be talking about union fights. We're going to be talking about Gaddafi fighting. We're going to talk about how a California inmate on death row cheated him. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms is here to provide the finest names in weapons, ammunition, optics, and accessories. We also offer repairs and custom gunsmithing. Bastiani Arms is pleased to announce that we now have in stock the best and largest selection of off-list AR low receivers in the North State. Looking for instruction in hunter safety, concealed carry, or Florida's concealed carry?
Currently 33 degrees here at KCNR 1460. How'd you like it? Can we just have a laugh? It's Tuesday morning.
That's my singing ability. I get to do the
7:14 in the morning. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Carla Linda Bott here on KCNR. We have all kinds of great stuff coming up. We've got, and when we say Toby Osborne, what does he do? Well, he is...
That's not Ozzy's brother.
He is head of publicity of all things going on at Turtle Bay. So he's going to come in and share with what's going on. We've got the cast here. Coming up for
Tom Sawyer.
Tom Sawyer, where we've got we'll just wait. I'm not even gonna tell you. They're so darling. You're gonna want to hear the cast. I also have a couple tickets I'm giving away right now. 605-4567 is the hotline. Bob's waiting for your call. 605-4567. Two tickets for what? The Boat and RV Show.
That's right.
This weekend. And guess what? Carl and I are going to be eating lots of tasting for the Double Dutch Oven
cook-off
on Saturday.
That's on Saturday. We're going to be there, who knows, around noontime, maybe 1, and we're going to be eating food prepared in these iron cookers, these Dutch ovens. And last year we were there, and I tell you what, it was superb food. It's just superb food.
It was excellent, and we had three. Each entry has to serve, of course, you probably heard us talk about this before. If you have your Saturday open, please come down. It will be a blast, and you're going to see something. If you've never seen the Dutch oven, or you see these individual campsites where people really are very serious about cooking an unbelievable a rack of lamb, they have to do a bread, a dessert, and an entree, and we have to judge on texture and taste and recipe and clever and how they present it. So after about 30 or 40 tastes of the stuff, and we turn around and change and go to a costume party at Reading Rancheria, where they're going to announce 49 people
or
giving $10,000 away to a special gifting and 49 people. So congratulations, Mike. You just won the two tickets. Come by KCNR 1326 Market Street. We'll have those two tickets for you. And all I can say is thank God after we test and taste everything on Saturday, I don't have to sing that night because, you know, it was I haven't been on the air since our Sunday night performance. What a blast. It took me a while to come down. I think it was kind of like when you go to you get ready for a high school reunion. For those, if high school is really important to you or some kind of reunion, but this is a really big part of my life. And it was just a really weird sensation for me, can I say? It was a weird sensation being with Dean and Frank and Joey and Sammy. But the Dean Martin, who was played by Drew Anthony, looked and sounded just like Dean Martin. And it was really strange for me. I mean, later on, you know, I walked out on stage with him and, you know, sang with the guys and took pictures with the guys. And then they came to this after party that we had at the Red Line Inn where everybody was invited. And it was just, I danced with Dean, he sang to me, and it was just, it was crazy. It was crazy fun.
It was. I reminded Dean later on that Shasta County is the capital of concealed carry. he took that into account.
But it was just, I don't know, I'm still coming down off of that. Just weird. It was, I told Carl it was like a wedding, but, you know, you get there and what happened? It's a blur. What happened? I didn't get a chance to sit inside it. So for all of you who showed up on this night where everybody was into the Oscars, which I watched yesterday and fast-forwarded through a lot of the stuff, I don't think I really missed much out on the Oscars, but Anyway, Bob, you were there. You and Brenda had a great time,
We
too.
Had a great time. I think the high point for me was when the Sammy Davis Jr. character came down and gave you a hug. You emitted a sound that I've not ever heard escape a human throat before.
You might be surprised. There's still some more of that left. That's what I'm saying. Neil Broad isn't dead yet, can I tell you? So I think that's what really felt good, because I was, you know, 19, and I think that I was 31, I think, when the last day of working with the Gold Diggers with Dean, and I just, it was a great, and these guys were a class act. They were kind and generous to all of those, all of the people in the North State who came afterwards. They were gentlemen, you know, it's like they weren't sleazy, they were sweet. Not that the other guys were ever. So whoever cast these guys, they really were very, very generous in their heart about really respecting who they were portraying, and I appreciate that. That's a pro.
They did an excellent job, and it was neat talking to the guys out of character and getting their perspectives on it. None of them are really big, you know, uber fans of the era, but they feel honored to be able to pay tribute to it.
Well, the guy playing Frank said, you know, he found out that, you know, and this was interesting. He said at age 15, he realized he could sound like Frank Sinatra when he sang. And now this guy used to be a pharmaceutical salesman. And then he decided to, you know, make his life, you know, entertaining. And the point is something he had said that I found amusing, and but it's true. He says, you know, if you can do something really well, then everything else kind of falls by the wayside that you can't do. He says, I can't do anything else. I can't hang pictures. I can't change oil in my car. I can't do any of that. But he could sing, and he even had the mannerisms, the smiles, the look. It was fantastic.
Now there's several Rat Pack groups, and this is the truth. But this, I got to tell you, that this Dean and this Frank were the best that I've ever seen. It was, these guys really had it down. And I'll share with you really quickly that before the show, I had a chance to really spend some time with Drew Anthony, who played Dean Martin, and he talked so much about this Italian. He's Italian American, 100%. About his grandmother, about his mother. He had tears in his eyes about his family. And I really appreciated the wholesomeness of it, the wholesomeness, and yet still this kickback from the 60s. Anyway, so it was a great time, and thank you, Redding, and for all of you who came out. And, of course, Mike, congratulations on the tickets. We are going to be giving some more of those away in the second half of the show. Coming up, you're going to be talking to some darling cast members of a local production here you don't want to miss as well. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
I fell into that ring of fire. Welcome back to KCNR 1460. And it is a burning thing. Home of Free Fire Media and Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is March the 1st.
I understand there's treatment for that.
7:24 in the morning. 530-605-4567, and we're chatting right there at KCNR 1460. I don't even want to read what the chat room says now after what I just said. It is approximately 39 degrees out there, and we're supposed to get rain later on today. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo's up there towards Shingletown. Great food, great service, great people. But if you need breakfast this morning, why don't we just hit the Lumberjacks? 501 East Cypress, breakfast specials Monday through Friday, $3.99 for ham and eggs. That's a full plate of ham and eggs, $4.99 for chicken fried steak, and $5.99 for a New York steak. That, you can't beat those prices. These are good people. The service is great. It's a local restaurant owned by our members of our community. So, all right, a couple of things going on here. The GAO details, that's the Government Accounting Office, billions, let's say billions. Can we say it again? Billions in federal waste. And, I had a blog the other day, and we were talking about cuts to the VA, and I said, wait a minute, you ought to go to this site. And it was put up by Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma about the things that are being wasted, the billions and billions of dollars that are duplication efforts that nobody is running. Let's just give an example. There are 24 president-appointed individuals with some responsibility for biodefense. In addition, numerous federal agencies encompassing much of the federal government have some mission responsibility for supporting biodefense activities. However, there is no individual or entity with responsibility, authority, or accountability for overseeing this whole mess, the report finds. There's no national plan to coordinate federal, state, and local efforts following a bioterror attack, and the United States lacks the technical and operational capabilities required for adequate response. Nor does the federal agencies account for biodefense spending across the entire federal government. In other words, we don't know how much is being spent on this national security priority. We don't know what we're doing, my friends. And the thing is that we just keep doing it. The Defense Department, yeah, you know, people go, oh, you know, you mean the Defense Department shouldn't be touched? No! We have waste in the Defense Department. Of course we do. You can't have an organization that big that doesn't have waste. You know, they use the urgent needs funds to expand in multiple places for things. Urgent needs. And the Pentagon has no tracking mechanism for these funds, resulting in an estimated $77 billion in overlap. So they've got multiple. I know this is true. We have multiple things operating at multiple times. Anyway, we have one thing after another, that's for sure. Okay. We've got Ron Largent. Ron's going to come here and just make a quick announcement here on something we were talking about. We have time today. Well, come on in, Ron, from United Way. And Ron Largent's taking over United
Nothing
Way.
Nothing like saying good morning.
Good morning. Get in here.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here, as always. It's nice to be here on a weekday. From time to time, I'm in on That's a Saturday.
Right. Yeah, walk right in and tell us what's going on.
Yeah, we're having lunch with Kurt and Ruth tomorrow.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, the United Way right now is in a very busy time. Not only are we in a transition time, but yesterday I hand-delivered 90 applications for the agencies in our nine counties. I delivered them down to the federal office, what they call the Combined Federal Campaign, and to the California State Employees Charitable Contributions Office in Sacramento. And that means that there will be 90 agencies in our nine counties that will be listed in both the federal and the state booklets that come out for people to give to. And it's a record. We've never submitted that large of a number of agencies. And it attests to the fact that right now we have plenty of needs on the table. You know, with the economy like it is, there's a increasing demand for services, and so our job is to get out there, recognize, and identify those services, and then go raise money to help them out.
Okay, so what can we do to help here? What can people do? Where can they go?
The best thing that we can do right now is just call us, because we need volunteers. In fact, this afternoon we have a fundraising committee that's meeting, made up of community volunteers. Give us a call. There's a number of things that they can do, not only from just you know, the so-called mundane office work of helping us stuff envelopes and things like that, to basically coming up with ideas and then helping us with some of our special events. We have about three special events we're talking about. We're just in the talking stage, but one is a celebrity golf tournament down at Saviano Links. So we have a lot on the table.
We do, and let's give that number up.
It's 241-7521, 241-7521. Of course, that's 530 area code.
Right.
But our special events that I just briefly mentioned there was one is a celebrity golf tournament. And we have, through our Chico offices, contact with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, I tell you what, we're going to hold you back on for a couple minutes.
Okay.
On the other side. We just get through that, and then we've got our Tom Sawyer coming up.
Good.
Calling the bot.
That's Tom Sawyer.
Calling the bot. Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460. CNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl Linda Bott. March 1st, 7:34 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. They moved to a new location right there on 1345 Liberty Street. Doug Tooley puts in Dish Satellite. He does a great job. He guarantees his work, and it's all local. He's been in the business since 1985. Give him a call at 244-1988. That's B&T Satellite.
Currently 37 degrees. If you're just tuning in at 7:35 in the morning, you're going to have a 30% chance of rain today with a high of 56. And tonight, a 100% chance of rain with a low of 43. Our guest this morning from the United Way is Mr. Ron Largent. We're trying to give it why, when, where, and how. What's going on?
Well, lots of activity. As I mentioned, yesterday we took in 90 applications for funding locally in the nine counties. We're just very excited. One of the new agencies that has submitted an application is the Shasta Library Foundation to help the funding of their adult literacy program. And we're really happy about that because we have three focus areas as far as United Way is concerned on their fundraising efforts worldwide. The first is education. The second is income generation to get people back into the workforce. And thirdly, of course, is health. But the education component is a very big component because we're finding that even with the downturn in the economy, there are adults that are going into the job hunting market and they can't find a job because of their lack of education skills. And so the Shasta Library has put on a literacy program for years. Well, recently, due to some state cutbacks, they lost the funding for their director. So they've come in with an application for us to help fund that position, which is critical, as you could appreciate. Same thing has happened in Tehama County, and we're helping to fund their children's summer program for the low-income children. It's a reading program at the Tehama County Library. So we're very anxious to get going on those projects. The process is we submit the application, and you asked about volunteers a few moments ago. Then what we do is we have a local committee get together. These are people that are not connected with the agencies to come in and talk about what applications have been submitted. And so they, in essence, say, well, this is what this organization needs. What can we give them? So we're looking for volunteers to serve on the allocations committee. And it's very, very interesting because you get to see all of the various agencies in work, and we actually have the committee members go out and visit the agencies.
Okay. Well, we definitely need to have you come back, Ron,
sure.
And we talk more about this. But for our listeners today, what is it that you're calling out for? What do you need?
Well, we need volunteers. We need volunteers who would like to help in contacts as far as getting in to see people that might be interested in giving. So we need volunteers to help with our fundraising committee. They can call us at 241-7521. We look for ideas. As you know, I'm very much open to any kind of an idea.
Okay.
So have your volunteers give us a call. We'll sure get them to work.
So 241-7421.
7521.
7521. I'm going to put that
Give Ron a call, volunteer, and it's help United Way.
Great.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for stopping by,
Thank
Ron.
Thank you, guys.
Carl. Oh, yeah, okay, let's go to the phone. Sorry, Don.
Hey, I have two quick comments this morning.
Okay.
You were speaking about the waste of money and the duplication. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Yeah.
The other thing is looking at gas prices this morning. I'm looking into buying an alcohol still. And converting my car for $250 and over on alcohol.
You know, we have a friend that's done that.
Yes, they have.
They do. He has a still running all the time. I think what was he using? He was using apples or things like that. But he was running alcohol in his truck.
So and can live off the grid again. And in case you know, that's that self sufficient mentality, which is we're more and more leaning towards. Not being able to have to depend on anybody. What if you live, 10 acres or 20, say you live 40 miles out of town on 10 acres. You know, it would be horrible if all of a sudden everything went down. What can you do to sustain yourself?
Well, you can, you know, they're telling you can make this alcohol for our own private use, for grass clippings and everything. My thinking is if it doesn't work, you can always drink it.
There you go, and then you don't care. Hey, Don Shulman, who's got Movie Talk and Bridal Talk. Two great shows, well-received here on the station on Sundays, and a great guy.
Well, thank you. We've got a great guest coming on Sunday. She's going to, again, talk about Elvis and having pancakes with him and Nat King Cole's daughter and lots of good stuff, so thanks.
Okay, well,
Don.
It's great shows. Don. Hey, John, thanks a lot. We got to take a break here. All right, Carl and Linda Bott. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. And we're coming up next is...
Tom Sawyer, the cast of Redding Christian School. You want to be hanging out with us. 7:39, we'll be right back.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 7:43 in the morning on March 1st. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Espresso Joe's, great coffee. The girls down there can fix it any way you want. And they've got a great meeting room next door that you can drink your coffee and have free Wi-Fi. And now, right to you, brought to you from Las Vegas, is, you know, and playing at Reading Christian School, which is kind of hard to explain, but here they are, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer cast. Good morning.
Good morning.
There you go. Everybody can say, everybody talk in there. Okay. We've got Natalie Verhoeven, Ryan Hofer, Adam Dinius, and Nicole Zittel. Did I get all the names right?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't shake your head. Talk to me. This is radio. Okay. The play's going to be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
March 9th.
March 9th, 10th, and 11th at 7 p.m. And now let's go to start with Becky. Okay, Natalie, you're playing Becky Thatcher.
Yes, I am. Becky Thatcher.
And so how do you get ready to play Becky Thatcher?
Well, we have practices every day after school, and we practice hard. And my favorite part about being Becky Thatcher is in the practices, we go, we practice, we make a mistake, and then we laugh. And that's my favorite part.
Now, if I know, and I know Natalie, by the way, she doesn't speak like this usually. So we like that accent you're coming with.
I think Becky's in the house.
Yep. Okay, Ryan, who do you play?
I play Tom Sawyer, and I'm just the average boy who likes hanging out with Huck. And we, I like to skip school, but I'm not supposed to, and I really don't like Aunt Polly because she doesn't treat me very well, at least from my point of view.
Oh, okay. Well, Huck, Huckleberry Finn's in here. Hi, Huck.
Yes, I am. Hi.
So, Huck, you're kind of like the bad boy, is that right?
Yes.
So if you were, if it was today, you'd have like a motorcycle and a tattoo?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. And that's Adam. All right. So, and then we have...
But we're glad to see that you don't.
Yeah, that's right. And Nicole, yes, you play...
I am Amy Lawrence.
And, you know, what's your part in this, Amy?
Well, I am the beautiful one, I am the sassy and smart one, and I am Tom's one and only true love.
Oh, okay. Does Tom, do you know that?
I think I do, but I don't agree. I like Becky more.
Oh, okay, Becky. So how do you like, I mean, is Amy kind of cutting in on your time here?
If this was a superhero movie, she would probably be my arch enemy.
Okay, all right. And now, Huck, what do you think about this? Here's Tom with two beautiful young girls, and there you've got a catfish. What's going on?
Well, I think it's kind of ridiculous. Me and Tom are usually playing with each other, and he fancies these girls over me.
Well,
that sounds great, you guys. We're talking to the cast from the Reading Christian School. It's the cast of Tom Sawyer. The tickets are only $5, you guys. This is going to be a wonderful, wonderful community theater. We've got Natalie Verhoeven, who's playing Becky Thatcher. We've got Brian Hofer, who's Tom Sawyer. Adam Dinius, who's Huckleberry Finn. And Nicole Zittel, who's Amy Lawrence. Now, we're going to give you two tickets away, and I think we're going to let Becky over here choose which callers that's going to be. The show times are Wednesday, March 9th, Thursday, March 10th, Friday, March 11th. The tickets that we're giving away are for what night, Becky?
March 9th, 10th, and 11th.
Oh, so any night, whenever they decide, is there a special night for the ticket giveaway?
Thursday night.
All right, so we're going to take the first caller. What do you think, Becky?
Sure.
First caller at 605-4567 will get two tickets for the Thursday, which is March 10th, evening show, 7 o'clock p.m., it's at the Reading Christian School?
Yes, ma'am.
Could you please tell me where that is, Miss Thing?
At the Bishop Quinn, in Pal Cedro, the Bishop Quinn Catholic Center.
Okay, and so that's the first caller, which I think just called. So, tickets for Tom Sawyer, and we have a winner. John just won the tickets for Tom Sawyer. Do we have two sets of tickets by any chance?
We do.
Okay, we've got a second set. So, Bob, take that second one, too, and we'll get both of them.
Everybody needs to come see Tom Sawyer
okay,
with
the
his
second
fabulous
one, too.
Cast.
We'll take the second caller, too. All right.
And, Becky, what are the phone numbers
okay,
for people
call
to call for numbers?
No tickets are available at the door, so call 547-5600 for more information to reserve your tickets at the Reading Christian School office.
Okay, now we've got one more set of tickets, so give us a call. For the Tom Sawyer, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, we've got Tom, Huck, Becky, and Amy here. Now, it's a little known fact that I was in Hannibal, Missouri I was there at the fence that Tom, that you suckered all your friends into painting and making them and having them give you marbles and frogs and stuff like that for it. And I can see the handiwork that you have. It's still painted, so you did a great job. You can talk too. Okay.
Yeah. All right. I did all that. I got everyone's stuff, and they did my work for me, so I was glad.
Okay. So how long have y'all been rehearsing for this?
For about 5 weeks now, we've been practicing.
Okay. All right. We've given tickets away to Janet and John. And in fact, we're supposed to give. Okay, Janet and John, you have tickets for Tom Sawyer this week, or for March 10th. Great. Thank you very, very much for calling in.
Did you have a skit?
Sure.
Okay, do we have a little bit of a...
Yeah, we got a couple minutes here. Give us a couple minutes.
Becky, was you ever engaged?
Engaged? What's that?
Why, engaged to be married.
No.
Would you like to?
I don't know. I reckon so. What's it like?
Like? Well, it ain't like anything. You only just tell the boy you won't ever have anybody but him, ever, ever, ever. And then you kiss, and that's all. Anybody can do it.
Kiss? What do you kiss for?
Well, that is... Oh, well, they always do that.
Everybody?
Why, yes, everybody. That's in love with each other.
Well, I'm pretty impressed here. So, okay, gang, we're talking about March 9th.
Yeah.
And 10th, 9th, 10th, and 11th, we're talking at 7 p.m., we're talking Reading Christian, and you all have really been in character here. It's enjoyable. We're going to go there and see it that night.
We'll be there on your opening night, so yeah. We only want you to break a leg.
That's right. So thank you very, very much for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Now go out there, Huck, and stay away from the tattoo parlors. All right. Okay, hey, thanks very much. We've got to take a break here. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home. Of Free Fire Media. Back, Free Fire Radio on KCNR. Welcome back, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's 7:53 in the morning. It's March 1st, gang. March 1st. We got a little rain today.
That's correct. It's currently 37 degrees, 7:54 in the morning, and we're going to have a high today of 59. Of course, there's 30% a chance of showers. You know how I always know if it's raining?
Because
when
I'm
you
wet.
Take, when you take Snooki out in the morning and she comes back in, I feel her fur and go, it's raining.
Well, you can't, that's you really can't tell by the little drippy, you know, mess I make as I'm walking back in.
So you have a weather dog and she's
got
a weather rock.
Yes.
She's got, you know what,
we
I've got
both.
The, you know what, I've got the weather rock. And it tells me if it's raining or if it's cold outside. She's got the weather dog. I have nothing. Except I just stand out there in the rain while she gets underneath a tree.
All right.
It takes 10 minutes to finish up whatever she's doing.
Tonight around 43 degrees with 100% chance of rain, and that is the weather forecast for you. Weather Stories brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. We have so many things that are passing through the station today. Let's go to the phones.
Donna, good morning. You're on KCNR.
Good morning.
And you've got some announcements to make here.
Well, there's going to be a rally for the public tomorrow at the Social Security office in Reading.
Uh-huh.
And that's the new office at 2600 Park Marina Drive.
And what's the rally about, Dana?
The rally is going to Social Security workers that are taking time out during lunchtime to help educate the public about the budget cuts that have been proposed to the Social Security Administration's administrative expenses.
Uh-huh.
Which means that if this budget passes through Congress, we will not be able to answer our phones, and there will be furloughs so that not only will employees not be able to be here, but the doors could possibly close, and the work is going to come to a grinding halt. And this is going to have a devastating impact on our community because the senior citizens and the disabled of our community need us to be there for them and to get this work done. So we want folks to know what's actually happening, and we have encouraged the senior community and the disabled advocacies to help us, so we expect a lot of people out tomorrow.
Okay, and this is to talk about a program that if the current budget goes through, that they're going to furlough workers and so that they can save money in the budget. Is that correct?
Right. The Commissioner of Social Security said if this budget goes through as proposed by the House of Representatives, that we will be have a month of furloughs. So for the Reading office, that means about one-fifth of our staff will be gone every day between now and September 30th.
I thought they said have they taken on Social Security and Medicare on this budget? I thought that was two of the things they hadn't touched.
They haven't touched the reform discussions that have actually taken place, and which is on a whole different track than the actual funding of the administration of the program itself.
Okay.
So
we're talking about the administration. We're talking about the people doing it, and as opposed to the
paying for the staff, paying for the work to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And currently, we've just in the last 2 years have made a lot of progress on getting some of our backlogs addressed.
What kind of backlog do you have? Would you say
huge backlogs in disability claims? Right now, the waiting times. You apply for disability and you're denied that and you go through the appeals process, it's taking about almost 3 years to get people through that
process. 3 years.
And families are waiting 3 years to get an answer from Social Security as to whether their benefits are going to be approved or not, which is, to me, unconscionable that it should even take that long, because nobody is prepared to wait that long or have that much resources.
You know, we just got a couple minutes left, but this backlog, I mean, has it been kind of like at this level for the last 5, 6, 7 years, or is it just started?
It's been this way for about the last 8 years, and we are now seeing it improve, but with these budget cuts, we think that backlog's going to soar. So we need all the help we can get to drive the message that... we understand the state of the nation. We understand cuts are necessary, but with the Social Security, it's paid for entirely by the trust fund, by law, and we just don't feel that we need to hurt our disabled workers and families and our elderly community.
Okay. All right, so that's what time? That's tomorrow?
That's tomorrow, 11:30.
At the new Social Security office?
At the new Social Security office.
Okay, hey, well, thank you very much for calling and letting us know.
All righty. Thanks
a lot.
Bye-bye.
Hey, one of the questions I had was, what is break a leg? What does that mean? Well, I have to just explain to you that it's a well-known idiom in theater, which means good luck. It's typically said to actors and musicians before they go out on stage to perform. It's kind of a theatrical superstition. You could go back to Richard III theory, Roman origin, Yiddish origin, but I'd like to think about the vaudeville origin, which is that to the early days of vaudeville, variety acts at the time were only paid if they were able to step on the stage and complete their act. The side curtains, called legs, needed to be passed in order to walk on stage, hence break a leg. It's a phrase passed between performers in Welsh and in a subsequent way. So
great.
We got to take a break.
Yeah, Carl and the Bob, we come back. We've got Toby Osborne from Turtle Bay. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Reading.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. 8:05, March 1st. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567.
That's the hotline.
And you can also get online with us at KCNR 1460 and join our intimate little chat room. See what's the latest in the intimate.
We love you guys chatting with us. It's really, really fun.
And it is.
Interacting with you.
That's right. Today is... It's what, 39 degrees now? What's it going to do today, honey?
It's going to be high of 56, and there's 30% chance of rain today, 100% tonight. So the next few days, we're expecting rain. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Again, it's 8:05, and as you're writing your checks and you're realizing, oh, my God, this is the first day of March 2011. So welcome to March. Of course it should be raining. We love that. We love
that.
Right. With us in this portion of the show is Toby Osborne, who is the marketing and sales guy from and with public relations and all things Turtle Bay. Welcome to the show, Toby.
Good morning.
pleasure to be here.
Yeah, you look well bright and shiny, and you said that you dropped your kids off.
Dropped the kids off at RSA this morning on my way in.
Oh, yeah?
So it's been a full day, a little workout this morning.
How old are your kids?
They are 9, 10, and 12.
Wow.
So get our hands full.
Chillin's at home.
Yeah, but we're just fresh off of vacation, so I can't complain too much.
Oh, that's why you look, you know, ready for the day, and that's all good stuff. Right now, you've got two exhibits. Let's talk about what's going on at Turtle Bay as far as museum exhibits. You've got Sustainable Choices and the Migrant Project.
That's correct, and they're two wonderful exhibitions.
Very educational.
Very educational. Sustainable Choices is a great exhibit to go into and learn a little bit more about what you can do to provide for future generations. And it's really a two-part exhibit. It's the macro view, which is kind of what's going on globally, and that's the traveling exhibition. And then what really brings it home is what our local community has done and actually built an exhibit inside the exhibit about what REU, what the city of Reading is doing with wastewater and power and whatnot, and then the whole recycling component, what you can do on your everyday. There's so many things that I didn't know that you can recycle or you can't recycle and where to bring them and what to do with it. And then the really big thing for me is the 55-gallon drums that are sitting in there that shows the average water consumption that a person uses in the middle of July and then in February. And I think it's a ridiculous amount of water. It's over 1,000 gallons that the average household uses in Reading here in the middle of summer because they're watering twice a day. And then in the winter, it goes down into 250 or something like that. So it's really shows you things that you don't necessarily think about. But if you start taking a look at those things, where you're getting your food, how much water are you using, what power are you using, we really need to sustain future generations, and it's not just all about consuming now. So it's really a great look at what you can do here locally to help out and help globally.
What does it cost now to be a member of Turtle Bay?
Membership is the most affordable way to get into Turtle Bay. You hear people all the time saying, well, I don't know if I want to spend, you know, $14 to go in there and visit for an adult or $10 for a child. But for $80, you can get a family membership, which is valid for the two adults named on the card and up to four kids. And they don't even have to be your own kids. You can bring your two kids and their two friends and walk into the park as many times as you want throughout the year.
So it's basically like an $80 membership, and you can come and go through all the exhibits, and I think that's great.
Yeah, and you come as many times as you want. What I think is great, we get a lot of people that just come in for an hour and a half, let the kids walk around. It's kind of their escape for the day, and then they leave and they come back, you know, the next day, or they come back a month from now. And the other great thing about it is that not a lot of people know is we have reciprocal memberships all over the country where you get free, half price, or discounted admission to go to many museums and arboretums all over the country.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. Toby Osborne is our guest from Turtle Bay. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about those different museums and arboretums. Arboretums is something else, I'm sure. Arboretums, and we can talk a little bit about the exhibit. So, Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Bad Bob, take us out. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. Hey, hope you're having a good day. Today's March 1st, beginning of a rainy few days here. Hey, you know what? Lumberjacks, if you're 55 or older, they've got a senior menu that is just second to none. That's right, second to none. 501 East Cypress, and for that, two for $12, you can get anything ranging from honey-cured ham to chicken breast dinner to spicy Cajun shrimp. And they give a lot of food there for you seniors. Kind of like make sure you're ready here for this month of coldness. But Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress, great menus, great service, great people. It's a local business, and it's owned by our neighbors. So
our guest this morning is Toby Osborne, and we are taking your calls here if you have a question for Toby. And Toby's with Turtle Bay. We're very proud to have Turtle Bay in the area. It's really, you're always bringing in exhibits that are so educational. Great things for schools to go see. Sustainable Choices is one, and the Migrant Project. What's the Migrant Project about?
The Migrant Project is a great look at the migrant farm workers that are really abundant here in California and have been over the decades.
And not a lot of people know that, but California feeds over half the United States. And a large majority of that is because of the migrant workers. And it really takes a look at their life, the way they live, the way they farm, the way, you know, their whole life, more so from going to church to working the fields, to where they live, to what they do after they work. So it really takes an in-depth look at their life through photos. What's the two exhibitions actually really marry well together, because the thing that's promoted from a sustainable choice for the future, which is water, is really the only reason that the migrant workers are where they are, because the Sacramento River feeds a lot of the Central Valley and a lot of the plantation that is available down there. So they really marry well together from that standpoint, from promoting a lot of the same theories.
But how many kids would you say come through a day that go on tours to see your exhibits?
You know, I don't know if I know the average daily rate, but we have, you know, anywhere between, you know, 12 to 15,000 throughout a year that come in. We have specific programs. REU sponsors a program, that's very successful. We have a MAGE program, which is a museum art gallery experience, where third graders come in and experience. They get to sketch and do lots of different things, and that's tied in right now to our biennial art contest, which is on display as well. So there's a variety of different things that they can do throughout the year. We have great animal programs that they can come in the summertime, coming up in April, animal shows, and we have specific animal experiences that we can do for the kids as well. So there's a lot to do for school kids.
And let's go back to the $80 a year for two adults and four children. It's a family membership.
Do you get to bring in, like, guests at any one time?
You can bring in guests at half price. So you can bring in as many guests as you want when you come in. If they're kids and you have four kids, obviously they come in for free.
Well, you know, my father-in-law and mother-in-law, very, very young, acting. Any chance of getting, I guess there's no chance of getting them in there for those kids.
Well, something that I think we were not aware of, and of course we want to share that with you, is that there are exhibits that when you become a member of Turtle Bay, you can come as many times as you want, and those exhibits do not cost. Then there are the more expensive traveling ones, like we talked about, i.e. Titanic, a couple others that you mentioned that you have to pay, like it's a half price or something. It's still a ticket admission, even though you're a member. And I know some people were really upset about that. But so I suppose if you go online, you can find out, okay, does my membership get me in free? So when they don't get a surprise at the door.
That's correct. Pretty much throughout the year, you get into the park for free, and you're going to at least be able to see one or two exhibitions with that park admission. Traditionally, it's really only during the summertime that we have, if it's a really large, expensive traveling exhibition that we're bringing in, we'll have a small upcharge associated with that. We will have one this summer for a really exciting, very family-friendly exhibit called Grossology, the Impolite Science of the Human Body.
I love it.
Get ready for the oozy, stinky, crusty, smelly grossness.
Totally a brother thing.
The studio after a weekend, you know. So
my brother was so gross. He's a doctor
for
now.
For something like that, I remember you had the one about I don't know how to put this.
Poop.
Scoop on poop, which was
interesting.
That was that was kind of interesting.
Your dinosaur dog.
Where do these ideas for these exhibits come from?
You know, there's quite a few traveling exhibition companies out there in the marketplace.
So
a
how did that one win its way to the top over, say, something like locomotives or something else? How did this one win?
You know, we're always constantly looking for a good mixture of things that you can learn, things that are fun, and things that have good hands-on components. Because what we're learning is that families, they love to touch, they love to feel, they love to experience different things. And when you can get engaged in it, it makes it that much more enjoyable. And you're always trying to push the envelope to do something different, because otherwise people just consider you to be, you know, boring or not unique. And so you're always trying to do something relevant that's going to attract somebody and spark their interest to want to come into the park.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. John, you're live on KCNR.
Good morning, Carl, Linda, Bob,
hey, John.
And, of course, your guest, Toby.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
How's everything?
Good.
It's a beautiful day out there, huh?
I've been watching, I've been watching the chat room, and it's been really interesting. But a lot of different things going on in there, comments on the show, and then somebody, Coach Bob learning to dance or something.
We're having our own show in there, Carl.
I love it.
Well, you know what? You know, as long as you keep, you know, as long as y'all keep listening and putting it in here, that's what counts.
Hey, John, you got a question for Toby?
I do indeed. Good morning, Toby.
Good morning.
Listen, I know that you're marketing and services and pretty much everything else, too. I know you're Mike's right-hand man, and that's a great thing. Are you there?
We're here. We're
here. Okay. Can
bad
you tell
problem
me
to do that.
When they're going to do a groundbreaking for this hotel that's going to be built, and what do you anticipate the impact is going to be on the parking for access to Turtle Bay, the museum?
Currently, right now, we don't have an estimated date for the groundbreaking. We're anticipating that we will break ground at some point this summer. There's still quite a few hoops that we have to jump through to finalize all of the planning. What I can confirm to you that there will be, prior to ground construction or right around ground construction, there will be augmented parking spaces that will mean that the same amount of spots that we have now will be there when we begin construction. So
I knew that you'd do that, but I was meaning during the construction period, how is that going to impact the parking facilities?
For Turtle Bay or for Turtle Bay, it's going to make it a little bit more challenging, obviously. It's going to make it so that people may have to walk a little bit further. But if you're going to the museum, in essence, it's the same amount of distance if you walk from the Turtle Bay parking lot or if you walk from the Sundial Bridge parking lot to get into the museum. But we're looking at some ways to hopefully alleviate some of the pain that customers may feel. We know that it could be an issue, but we're looking at all the different things that we can do to make your life and our visitors' lives a lot easier while they're there.
Hey, John, we got to take a break here. We're over our time, but let you know we've got Mike Warren coming on here soon.
Can I just say thanks for the walkway?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
For the walkway.
I love the walkway that goes on 44 up to Dana Point from Turtle Bay. It is fantastic. I love it.
Isn't that cool?
It is great.
It is. And, you know, like I said, we're going to get Mike Warren, and Mike's going to be able. We want to get in some real specifics about the hotel and the future here. So, okay. Hey, thanks a lot, John. We've got to take a break. You bet.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks, John. Thank you. Our guest is Toby Osborne from Turtle Bay, and we'll be right back after these messages. 1060, this is Carl and Linda Bott here at 8:24 in the morning. Do you have us on your button? On your dial.
iPod on your dial. Okay. It is a portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. Doug Tooley runs it. He's got a new location, 1345 Liberty Street. He's been in the business since 1985. He's a veteran of the 82nd Airborne. He does Dish Satellite, does a great job. His phone number is 244-1988. When you call that number, you get a local person there. And he puts it in, and he does it, and he guarantees his work. What, Bob? Bob's got a live remote.
Live remote there this weekend, 1 to 2.
Okay. Oh, excellent. Great. Okay. So. Our guest this morning is Toby Osborne from Turtle Bay, and we're talking about some of the exhibits that they have going on right now, Sustainable Choices, the Migrant Project. Those are current. Grossology is coming up for the summer. When does that hit?
It opens April 28th and runs through September 5th, so it's going to be our blockbuster. It's actually so large that it fits in both exhibition halls, so it'll be the one and only that we have this summer.
What have you heard about this, Toby? I mean, obviously you wouldn't just pick one that's kind of like, oh, okay, I don't know about this. I mean, you must have heard something about it.
Yeah, all the museums I've talked to have had record-breaking attendance. It's one of those ones that you learn something, but you don't really know you're learning it while you're there. There's a giant walk-in nose that's bigger than the room that we're sitting in here. There's a GI intestine slide that kids slide through. There's gas attack pinball. You shoot these balls into a nose, and when it replicates pollen, and when there's enough in there, they sneeze back out at you.
Now, this sounds like a fun exhibit, something I would love.
Super fun. My son's already told me he's living at the museum this summer, so.
I hope I can get Linda out of the museum this summer. So, you know,
nose ball gun. Love it. Let's talk about the 26th of March.
Yep.
is the big annual fundraiser for Turtle Bay.
The Turtle Bay Auction.
Mm-hmm. And that, could you tell us a little bit about that? Because I'm sure we're going to be talking about that a lot, but I mean...
It's Jeans, Jewels, and Jazz, Grab Your Partner, so it's a little bit of a Western theme this year, so that's very exciting. As always, it's at the Reading, well, for the second year in a row after a brief sabbatical over to Big League Dreams, it's at the Reading Convention Center. It starts at 5:30. Lots of great music, food, silent auction items, live auction items, and this year as well we have a wonderful raffle, which we're currently selling tickets right now with the winner announced at the auction. There are 200 tickets for sale at $100 a piece.
That's that cruise.
And you get to choose one of three European cruises, it's going to be wonderful. And if you go to turtlebay.org, /auction, you can learn all about purchasing a ticket.
Okay, yep. Now that's your big fundraiser of the year. Share with our listeners where, when you pay for a ticket for this fundraiser, where do the funds go?
The funds go to supporting our education department so that we can build programs for our schools and educate kids while they're in the park, as well as our exhibitions department, bringing in these wonderful travel exhibitions from all over the country that really help to teach kids things that they wouldn't normally or may not normally learn here, give them a little bit more of an in-depth look at some unique topics that we feel is entertaining and educational at the same point. And Grossology is a wonderful example of something that where it's totally hands-on.
It's, you know what? You know, when I heard just like this, you know, the scoop on poop, I'm thinking to myself, what are they thinking of? But then, you know what, it is, it's for kids, and it's an mm-hmm. educational thing where they can learn. I remember back when I was a child going through the University of Chicago Natural History Museum or Science Museum, and I saw things there that doing an appendectomy that still sticks to me today, and it was just looking at a little diorama of somebody having their appendix taken out. I must have been maybe 10 years old. I remember it vividly to this day that I did not want to be a doctor, first of all. And my appendix is right where it is. I mean, I think that through mind control, I've kept my appendix with me. So this kind of exhibit really is great. And, I mean, it really is good for the kids.
I think there's a lot of learning when you have interactive exhibits. Really, I remember going to a museum in right outside of it was oh gosh, you're going to out of Victoria. And it was a audio museum experience for the first I ever had. And I'll never forget the experience of that. And I think, I don't know, maybe it was the sound effects and it was the voiceover, whatever it was just so much more of a learning experience for me, the Native American Indian there off of the island of Victoria. I can't think of it right now, but I remember the exhibits. But Toby... So thank you so much for being with us. Any closing thoughts? We have about 30 seconds.
Oh, we're very glad to be here. We hope we get a lot of people out for the auction. It's going to be right around 400 people, so it's going to be a wonderful evening with a lot of fun, a lot of great food and drink. So come on out and support Turtle Bay and support our education exhibition programs and help us continue to provide for years to come.
Well, we'll do that. Linda's going to be the MC, one of the MCs, and I think we've got something in there too for a
along with Dave West.
Yeah,
throwing in a paella dinner that Carl is going to make or something. So
outstanding.
Well,
come
you know
and
what?
Bid on that. Come to our house.
We support Turtle Bay. And,
thank you very much.
We think it's something that's really. We think it's a needed. We think it's a place that belongs in our community. Is Turtle Bay? Every community should have a museum or something
where
like
people
this.
Care.
Yeah, where people care. Yeah, okay. Hey, we got to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to be discussing a situation right here in town and also a few other things. How did that guy get off death row? Carl in the Box, Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Radio, and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It is 8:34 in the morning on March 1st. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming and chatting at KCNR1460.com. You know, I like to have Turtle Bay here. I like to talk about the things that are exhibits here for our community. But you know what else I like to talk about? I like to talk about what's happening in our world here. We talked about how the GAO detailed billions in federal waste. But here's my favorite one. I guess it's kind of, maybe it shouldn't be my favorite one because it is kind of a a it's kind of a thing that that could be considered dark. An inmate in San Quentin prison that was on death row, escaped death row yesterday. He died. He was 67. He has been on death row for a long time. And the department says that 53 condemned inmates have died of natural causes since the death penalty was reinstated in 1978, while only 13 have been executed. So, I find it, it's not amusing, that's not the right word, but, you know, the purpose of the death penalty, I assume, is for society to extract retribution for some heinous crime, which these people are not, these animals disguised as people have committed. Things they've done to children, things they do, just cold-bloodedly, and telling them that our society will not accept this. And if you're going to do this, if you're going to commit this heinous crime, then we're going to take your life for it. I think that if it takes 10, 15, 20 years to execute a person, I think we've kind of like lost the, impact we want to have. Now, am I against the death penalty? Absolutely not. I think the death penalty, once that people go through the process that of a trial and it's been appealed and quickly, that should be on a fast track. That then and everything has been, and there is no doubt there, of course. You know, then it should be executed. I mean, it should be, the ritual should be consummated. But keeping a person on death row for 20, 25 years, and, you know, just still keeps working its way, churning, and every time it starts, it stops. Oh, we can't find the right drug to induce unconsciousness before we put this, you know, before we put a, you know, somebody that has killed children and you know, molested them, killed them, you know, all these things to death, or that it's too dark in the execution room. It's too dark. Where you have to spend $900,000 to lighten up the room? Is this to make you put the condemned man or woman into a better frame of mind?
Too depressing. Yeah, that was
too
great.
Depressing. I mean, if you're not, I don't think you're going to fix it. I don't think you're going to fix his depression or depression by lightening up the room. You know, the depression should be us spending $900,000 to do that. Why don't we just put in and drop a couple of, you know, those little, you know, those little handyman lights, or Bad Bob, you know those kind you stick to the wall, you can get from Walmart, and just stick in like 15 or 20 of them, then they light up. Hey, now we got it. And not only that, they're a soft light, which would make them feel maybe a little bit better as they're way in there, as they're trying as they should be thinking about the crime that got them there. Okay, don't get me started on this. I don't want to appear like a callous, hard-bitten individual, but come on. You know, people say, what if he didn't do it? Well, and there's been instances for that, yeah. And they say it costs so much more to keep somebody on, you know, death row than it does to put them right in the prison population. Okay, there's reasons, but there are also reasons that to extract revenge, to extract their life, to take their life for just the crime they've done, just to say is that this is, you do not belong in society, whether you're incarcerated or not, for these things you've done. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Radio KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning, 8:41 on March 1st. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right down off Athens Avenue. Let me tell you, you want a haircut? That's where you're to go to. DC Tim and the Man in Black, they give discounts to veterans. They give haircuts. They don't style your hair. They cut your hair. They do it with good cheer. You'll have a great time. And men and moms, this is man's last stronghold. You walk in there, it's a genteel atmosphere. What I mean is that they're gentlemen. And you're going to have magazines like Car and Driver, American Rifleman, those kind of things. It's a good place. Again, they give discounts to veterans. That Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue.
In the news today, this kind of surprised me. I want to share this with you. Not to be negative, because we have other things, but Philadelphia, Bakersfield, and Fresno, California are the most toxic cities in America. according to a new study that looked at air and water quality in metropolitan areas. It seems Philadelphia doesn't have great air, but other cities have worst, says Morgan Brennan of Forbes.com, which conducted the report. But the Philadelphia area has over 50 Superfund sites, really poor quality, and hefty amount of toxic releases. To complete the list, Forbes.com looked at 80 of America's largest metropolitan areas and examined the number of Superfund locations, unused areas which contain hazardous materials. The Philadelphia metropolitan area includes more than 50 Superfund sites. Cities in California also have particularly poor air quality. I never would have thought it would have been Bakersfield, but there were 43 days in Bakersfield, which the AQI passed 100 and 500 point scale, with zero being the best possible scale.
I'm not surprised. There's days when you drive through Bakersfield and you have to plow your way through the air.
I'll tell you, I wonder where that's coming from. Fresno had 29 days in Los Angeles, captured the number six spot on the list, which doesn't surprise me. Anyway, let's all, if we get a chance today, Aunt Shelley's Deli is closing. And she was forced to close to make room for the new courthouse in downtown Reading. Today's her last day. So if you've not been there to eat, it's really spectacular. And, I hope whatever your future endeavors that they're, you are happy in what you're doing, we here at KCNR wish you well.
That's right. You know, and they are the city's into the, getting into buying the property, getting ready for that. We're expanding, putting a new courthouse. I sure would like to see a new police station, something like that. That's what we need. Okay, Wisconsin. Let's go to Wisconsin. You know why I like going to Wisconsin? Because if anybody's got a worse situation than we do, it's got to be Wisconsin. I mean, they are still in the throes of these demonstrations. And by the way, there's a war memorial in the Capitol building there in the rotunda. And it honors those from Wisconsin who have died in war. So our demonstrators, our protesters there, used that memorial as a handy place to put up a bunch of signs and attacking the government and things like this. Just covered up the war memorial. So when somebody came up there and said to them, essentially, "Do you know what you're doing? This is the war memorial. I mean, you've got a right to do all this stuff, but cover up the war memorial." And essentially, it was like, "So what?" And I'm thinking to myself, these people, these thugs that have closed down the government, and they're getting ready to say, "Fine, we're going to start laying off people. We're going to start doing these." The senators, the 14 senators who refused to come back from wherever they're at in Illinois or whatever across the river, are now they're passed a bill that says, "You want to get paid? Fine, you have to collect that that check in person." So of course that won't work because they're probably getting funded by people. And again, we talk about the thugism, when you see it around there, of people trying to report the news and are getting attacked. Let's talk about this, is that Walker's proposal, this is the government, the governor, Scott Walker, gave absent Democratic lawmakers an ultimatum to return to Wisconsin within 24 hours and vote on a proposal to reduce the power of public sector unions, or the state would miss out on a huge debt restructuring, which means it's going to cost them even more money. Walker's proposal, by the way, to be voted on, would require public sector employees to pay more for pensions and health care. Not all, just more. It would strip some of their unions of bargaining rights, except for wages up to the rate of inflation, and require yearly union recertification votes. Now, that has become something to the point that they're trying to take away all of our rights and all of our money. I'm not sure that's what it says. It's brought out an estimated 70,000 protesters on Saturday, the biggest protest crowd in the Capitol since the Vietnam War. And the poll released on Monday suggested that if the 2010 election could be replayed, the Wisconsin governor might lose. Well, you know what? Might, could, maybe. The fact is the people of Wisconsin voted for Walker and the Republicans to go in there to reform this craziness that they've got, where they're going billions of dollars in debt because of payments to the public unions. He's trying to reform that, and people are fighting this. Like, I mean, what's wrong with paying part of what you're doing, or paying a higher percentage, not as much as the, you know, as the private sector does, but what's wrong with that? Our people are doing that. Our people here in town, they're willing to pay more in the CalPERS. And in fact, the county is meeting to talk about that the directors that are appointed in positions up here are going to pay 100% in the CalPERS, and non-representative managers. That way they can save, in the first year, we're talking about the county will save $254,000 for 2011 and $508,000 every year after that. That's, you know, they haven't voted on this, but that's for having the department heads and unrepresented managers pay 100% to CalPERS. What's that tell me? That means that's got to be a couple of extra sheriff's deputies, or it's got to be something else that we can run out there by saving that. Right now that the public workers, and this is a national average that I saw, and I've got to check it exactly, is that they're making, including their health benefits, are making something like $1,800 more a year on average than private sectors. And people say, well, wait a minute, what about all those years they didn't? Well, you're right. You know, their pay was lower because they had union members had health benefits, and they had a pretty steady job. I mean, that's true, and so they paid less. It's just been in this last 8 to 10 years that all of a sudden you started seeing the salaries go up, where now you've got the average salary in town is more than the average income of average salary for a worker, city worker, is more than the average income for a non-city worker or just a private sector. So something there has got to be balanced, and we're doing it. I think we're in the process of doing it. Now that all the screaming and yelling and the elections are over, I think they're working together on that. It has to be done. We have to do something about that. And here's the thing. Jerry Brown has to do the same thing at his level. He has got to have the unions address this huge deficit, since he's not going to do it with the illegals. So he's got to go into the unions and ask them. And just point it out. Guys, you have got to start paying your share here. We're going to just crash. Either that, or we're just going to cut out everything. University of California, Davis is cutting 500 jobs. That's their way of paneling this because of all the cuts. Carl Undebott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Our last segment is Carl Undebott, 8:53 in the morning on March 1st. Portion is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest walk-in humidor. They've got cigars on sale there. They have grab bags of just great cigars at great prices. And then, of course, you have Espresso Joe's. Get that coffee any way you want. Special coffees fixed very well. And then from there, you just kind of walk next door and sit down and enjoy your coffee and have your Wi-Fi. That's Tobacco and Brew. And Joe and Shelley support the veterans' causes and just our community. A great place to visit.
Don't forget, tonight is the city council meeting, and tomorrow we've got Gary Cadd on, who will be sharing with us what happens in the meeting tonight. And
we got Phil Smith from KIXC. We'll be on for, we're going to be talking a little bit about some of the plans he's got. The other things we need in town besides museums, of course, is public broadcasting. And, you know, there's something in the paper written by somebody that said something is, oh, this will let Sacramento take it over. Wrong. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. Why let Sacramento take over our local PBS station? I know that that Smith here, and the last time he was here, was talking about local programming that to make things viable and for our community. And that's the way it should be. I mean, you take it out of town, you lose that. I mean, it's like corporations that own things in town. You may have a couple of local people here, but, you know, really when it gets right down to it, it's what the corporation wants from New York. So trying to run it afar, I don't think will work. The only thing we need to do is get behind the station. We need to have, you know, people join it. We need to revitalize the station. They got, you know, Smith came in six months ago or so and inherited, you might say, a little bit of a mess there. So he's, you know, fighting like crazy to try and bring this thing back. And what he just needs is people to just join in. And instead of poking holes at it is just say, hey, look, this is what we need. Let's join. Let's become members. And then we can have the shows we want. Then we can have the programming that is viable. I mean, you start thinking about it. I mean, there's so many shows on there that, you know, that appeal to everybody. The only thing you have to do is support it. And it's not that hard to do. Trust me. Okay, we've got other people on tomorrow, too, talking about just a variety of subjects this whole week. We've got a number of different ideas going to be showing up. The Bad Bob, on your remote, you were talking about a remote. You're going to be just talking, you're just going to be talking about your regular technology?
Yes, and we're going to be featuring, of course, Doug Tooley down there at BNT Satellite, and we're going to be talking about, when it gets harder and harder to go out to the theater and things like that, home entertainment, of course, is becoming more available than ever. You can bring that theater experience home, and Doug is going to tell us about some of the cool products that are, of course, the calculator effect kicks in. The stuff gets less and less expensive for the big screens, the good surround sound systems, and basically how to fill up your whole house and enjoy life from your very own castle.
Great. You know, okay, our last little segment here is Doug LaMalfa. And Doug LaMalfa, when he came in as a senator, he said there ought not to be a law contest. You know, it's on the front page of Record Searchlight, but, you know, something he had talked to us about, too, while he was on the show. And here's the thing is, here's the one he said that won. He said that Laura, this lady of Klamath, was forced to delay burying her father by 10 days because of the red tape required for a state-issued burial permit. Well, I guess it's one of those things, but you have to pay $11 to bury somebody in the state of California. You know, some of it goes to the police, some of it goes to burying people without, you know, that have no
indigenous. Well, there's rules and regulations coming in, getting married, birth certificates, and going out.
Well, you know what, that may be, you know.
Got to pay for it.
Do you have to pay when somebody's born? Do you have to pay a fee when somebody's born?
I think in order to get the birth certificate, I think you have to pony up.
Oh, yeah. Hey, about it, if you weren't, say, a legal citizen, could we charge them more?
I don't know.
I would hope. Probably not. It'd be unconstitutional, I'm sure, because they have the same rights as we do, even though they're not from here and they don't live here. But anyway, so here's LaMalfa wants to get rid of that one. You know, it's probably not. It's why should we have to wait? Why should a lady have to wait 10 days to bury her father?
I know the most dangerous words in the English language are there ought to be a law. I think California needs to follow the example of Texas, where the legislature only meets every 2 years.
I don't know. I want to get a weigh in on how people feel about that Zodiac scam. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
There's the new, you might have always been a Capricorn, but now you're something else.
Oh, yeah, that.
There's a huge uproar. How do you feel about it? I want to know more about that.
Well, we're going to talk about that
this week.
May seem
trivial, but a lot of people start their day off by thinking about what this day is and where you're born in between the months of and what you are, and it's all changing.
Yeah,
And
all of a sudden you find out you're not a Gemini anymore, and then what do? And then you find out you lived your whole life incorrectly. And then it's every day that you thought that you were going to be something, you're not. Who believes in this? But we'll talk about this later on this week. Anyway, thanks for listening. Carl Lindabot here on Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.